This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
And it's crashing. It's crashing terrible. Oh, my. Get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast and all the folks between it. This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world.
History lives on the Golden Age of Radio. Every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m., here on listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI New York.
And the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. All the humanity and all the passengers.
That transmission, I want to go to bed. I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just... rekindle your will to live.
Hi, this is Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia. Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia.
This is Bob Central. Channel open for Executive Order AUC-3423.
Listen to this, boys.
And you don't think it's time somebody had a dream again, huh? You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Seems to me that the overall vagueness of your memory suggests that you might clarify them a little bit by hypnosis. Would you be agreeable with that?
Hypnosis?
It's a simple process. It's sometimes very helpful in cases of psychological trauma or have difficulty remembering what happened to them.
Not exactly the electric chair.
I'm going to count to 10 as you're falling asleep. And when I'm finished, you'll be deeply, deeply asleep. One, falling asleep. Two, falling asleep. Three, falling asleep. Four, falling asleep. Five, falling asleep.
Now, where are my people?
Two. Feels like times have changed.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this. I saw something, they saw something. There was a lot of light. That's all I know. Here I am, I'm naked. I'm naked. I'm talking to you like you were real. What's going to hell?
Fascinating.
I've peddled this damn thing halfway around the world.
Yeah, I'm getting pretty sick of you.
Yes, but you love me.
Night shift again. I'll be damn late. Night shift again. Night shift again. Night shift again. Night shift again.
I'll be damn late.
Consuelo, they're not human. Consuelo, they're not human. Now, where are my people? The 70 billion people of Earth, where are they hiding?
How long has it been since you've slept?
I don't know. Funny. I never seem to get tired. But I know I haven't slept since this thing began.
Well, it's an invisible barrier. It keeps anyone from getting out. It's designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too. I'm sorry.
The 70 billion people of Earth, where are they hiding?
I think there's no place to hide.
Something. There was a lot of light. That's all I remember.
I'm naked. I'm talking to you like you were real.
Fascinating.
Now, where are my people?
It's an invisible barrier. keeps anyone from getting out. It's designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too.
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed. I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Thank you.
now? Where are my people? Now. Where are my people? 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 Where are my people?
It's time.
Where are my people? 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 Where are my people?
It's time.
I think there's no place to hide.
You tune to listener-sponsored radio.
long as I don't think it's clear.
Sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. And the name of the show is Night Shift. We have a very special episode of Night Shift this evening. Elena, are you there?
I am, Mike.
Look at that. Elena's actually here before one. That's amazing. We're going to be doing a couple of things. The theme of the show, and I know you've been waiting, is scams. Have you ever been scammed? Have you ever scammed anyone? Have you ever scammed anyone, Elena?
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
an angel.
I know you have. And it's almost apropos for a guest we have, or actually several guests, for a new film that just opened Friday called The Reflecting Pool. And it might be about a scam. Stay tuned.
Watch the dream fade in now of your beautiful eyes. When you for another touch of your hand. Try not to sometimes we still feel though somebody grabs your meaning, still so far that you didn't hold that all the time I was just
and I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this. I saw something, they saw something.
You are tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. I spoke earlier about the theme of the show, which is scams, and there's a new film out, just came out this Friday, called The Reflecting Pool. Now, it's a very different film about 9/11 in that it's not a documentary. While it uses a lot of facts and there's quite a bit of research went into making the film, it takes a tact of a narrative story about an investigative reporter and someone who lost someone in 9/11. And it takes you places you don't quite expect to go. The writer-director star of The Reflecting Pool is here with us, Yannick.
Hello, Mike.
How are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
His co-star and co-producer is here, Joseph Culp.
How are you doing, Mike?
How are you?
Very well.
The producer, Jody. Can you talk to me?
Hello.
Oh, for some reason, I'm not getting you. Talk to me again, Jody. Okay. All right, how about Lisa?
Hello, Mike.
All right, Lisa, you and Jody are going to have to share.
Mike?
Yes, just swing that mic in between the two of you. Swing it there.
That's cool.
Okay, there we go. Now, Yannick, I guess I should start with you. Now, what made you want to make a film not only about 9/11, and there's been tons of documentaries about it, and what made you want to make a narrative film about 9/11, and how did you, as you asked a character in the film, get so interested, and how long have you been so interested in 9/11?
I was interested in 9/11 since 9/11/04, a minute after the second tower got hit. For the first 3 years, I was doing just my own research into what happened that day. I never quite officially bought the official story. I was I was born in Poland, and I'm a born skeptic. I never buy anything that I hear on television or in the papers. And I just follow my gut instinct, and I did a lot of research just for my own benefit as a citizen. I am a citizen with a funny accent, so nonetheless, I am an American.
Sounds like a sitcom citizen with a funny accent.
maybe we're onto something.
Okay.
And eventually, after 3 years of doing that, researching, I was expecting someone to make a feature film about it. A lot of documentaries, very good, some not so good documentaries about 9/11 started coming out, and I was pretty sure that someone would make a movie, someone with money, maybe Hollywood, although that was quite doubtful, but some independent producer would finance something like that, but nothing like that happened. But then by 2005, I was so angry that the creative sector in this country was not really ready or willing to tackle this issue. I decided to do something about it. I wrote the script, which I workshopped with Joseph Culp, who is also my acting coach, and Lisa Black, who plays the editor of a very fearless magazine.
The hard-nosed editor.
Yes, old school. She's here with us as well, and we are part of Joseph's Walking Theater Workshop in Venice, California. We're just started working on the script for a good 6-7 months and took shape, and then I asked Joseph if he would like to help us produce it and star in it, and he had produced a few things before, directed for the stage, and he was a very competent guy and great partner to have. And with Jody, my wife, who produced and shot also an earlier movie of mine, I enlisted them and convinced them it was a worthwhile subject to waste 3 years of your life on.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. And I see that Jody produces more than just movies.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Well, I have a couple things that occur to me now. I'm a film critic here at this radio station, and I'm a filmmaker as well. And, you know, it's interesting because generally when something so devastating happens to the country, something so political, something so charged, something that's covered so much in the media, there always is something fictional based on fact made about it. And I would assume, and I'm only making assumption here,
a lot of times people have looked to someone like Oliver Stone, who, to me, really kind of missed the boat with what he did. You know, it wouldn't have been something I would have wanted to see to begin with.
I don't think not many people did.
It was such a wrong take, I think, on making a film about those events. And what you've done is in a lot of ways much more classical Hollywood in terms of you take a story where you've got the balance, you've got the one character who doesn't believe and the other character who's completely convinced because they're deeply entrenched, and then you do a lot of things we don't expect.
Such as?
Well, you know, for me, I enjoyed how you uncovered all of what was going on. You give us a little snippet of something that makes us think, and in a lot of ways I think you constructed it like a documentary. Now, was that your intent?
Well, I'm not a documentary filmmaker by training. I'm a narrative filmmaker. This is my third film, but I'm a huge fan of the 70s paranoid thriller cinema.
Definitely.
Although paranoid and thriller do not apply to The Reflecting Pool, this movie is there's nothing paranoid about. It's just a bunch of facts woven into a dramatic narrative. However, the style is quite reminiscent of such movies as All the President's Men and perhaps maybe even The Executive Action with Burt Lancaster, original JFK.
Sure.
So, and I love documentaries. It's primarily I watch documentaries these days, so they inform me. I do not base my research on documentaries. I base my research on print and television, and especially the research that went into the making of The Reflecting Pool is all... When I say it's verifiable, it means that it comes from such sources as the New York Times, the Washington Post, CBS News, even Fox News, believe it or not. I wanted to make sure that all the stuff that we cover has been printed or shown on television, so people who in the media who want to belittle our effort or criticize it and dismiss it as fiction, they basically dismissing themselves.
All right, now, Joseph Culp, now, you'd obviously worked with Yarik earlier, and you were aware of, you know, his abilities and whatnot. What drew you to this? Were you a 9/11 buff? Did you care? Was it something that was on your radar only for that time?
No, I have to say that, actually, I think, like a lot of Americans, it was a terrible day, tragic day, traumatized me and everyone I knew to some degree, and I really went on with my life. I had kids to raise and money to earn. I don't think I took the president's advice to just go shopping, but I did just try to get on with my life because as we all do. But when Yarik brought the project to me and brought it into the workshop originally, I started to basically get educated about some things that hadn't been on my radar screen. And issues that we bring up in The Reflecting Pool, which have been verified and have been out there, although you'll never see them on the front page, started to really get under my skin. And I think I had a little bit of an awakening of conscience, so to speak.
Did that occur over time, or was there like one big series of uncoverings that you found in the print and the media?
I would say it did develop over time as I got to know the project better, and we were looking at the things that were being presented in the material, and I started reading more and looking online, and so much information is out there, but we often in this country, myself included, don't always have a developed sense of going after your own education. You expect to get it from the news, on television or in the print, and we tend to trust that at face value. Even though I am skeptical of a lot of things, I'm also curious, and I think curiosity is a good thing to develop. So as I got more into it, it started to become something that I just couldn't take my eyes off of. I couldn't get away from it. And when we came to the long road of developing the project, and Yarik asked me if I would now go the extra step of helping produce and be in it, I felt maybe for the first time about an art project as an actor that it was something that was became personal. Like I had to do it. I felt I couldn't just hold my head up and not do it.
Mm.
I felt it was a statement I needed to make. I also was really, as an actor, the idea that I might have an opportunity to portray and investigate some of the grief that this country is in and has been holding back, with the many people who were wounded by 9/11, and what those people were going through. And my character, who lost his daughter on 9/11, and is motivated by that grief and by that loss, and has been devastated by it. I had a sense personally. I have children of my own, and of what might motivate me to want to find out without. Never stop finding out what really happened on that day and not let it slide into history. People say, well, we need to get closure. There's no closure for 9/11, in my opinion, and there shouldn't be. It's galvanized support for invasions of countries and wars, loss of civil liberties. That's not something we should be taking lightly and just assume we should just give those things away. 9/11 deserves investigation, more investigation. And as most of us have heard now, that the original commission was practically a fraud. Hmm. So we need to look at this again, and that's why I wanted to do the film.
Now, Jody, other than the fact that you're, you know, married to a man who's clearly got a little bit obsessed there, I'm sure, for a while, what made you want to produce this? And just give me a little context, like what kind of work do you, you know, why do you produce?
Well, I actually, you know, lived in New York on 9/11. I was going to work, and got out of the subway right after the first plane had hit in Union Square. And and actually Yadik and I met a week later after that. We were supposed to meet up, and then this happened and kind of threw us together. But and I think I'm more like Joe in that it's been a sort of slow dawning, you know, for me of what's going on. Although I've always been skeptical too, but I guess it sort of politicized me more than I would have thought it did on that day, you know. And I think that what's happened since then is just it's unforgivable, you know, and hopefully not irreversible. But you know, I actually graduated from USC. And producing is not what I would choose to do.
What do you want to do? Do you want to direct?
No, I liked writing and directing, and I make more, you know, completely different kind of films about, you know, environmental things.
Are they going to say
children.
Romantic comedies? Okay.
No, not quite.
I make romantic
comedies. They're just a little less,
with
you know,
a green theme.
Yeah, they're a less directly political, more kind of artistically political or something. But, you know, Yadik, I produced another movie for him, and shot it for him, and it's you know, I love working with him. It's great, and I think he's a great filmmaker, and I he's the only person I would produce a film for, I think, you know.
I understand.
Did it take some convincing, though? Were you a little apprehensive?
No.
See, do you have a sister? No, I'm kidding. Right. Now, Lisa, and Yara, I just want to, as a fellow filmmaker, marry a woman who's going to produce everything you do. Yes. Okay. Lisa, tell me now, you as an actress, you know, you first of all, how did you get connected? Were you part of the theater group? And then coming into this role and into this project, what were your feelings about 9/11 and what was your knowledge?
My knowledge beforehand. Where to start? Well, yes, I came and took the workshop of Joseph's with Yadik, and that was just when Jody was starting USC. So we would go on Monday nights, and we started working on the project. And I wanted to work on the project because I like working with these people. And the part that Yadik created for me was the managing editor of an investigative monthly magazine, which is nice to have a woman in charge. And as an actor, I completely put myself into that role. So it's just the way I convinced his character to take on the assignment was, bottom line, just check the facts. 9/11 Commission report against things you dig up. And that bottom line sort of drove me through the film. And his research in creating the movie and writing it and us workshopping it, there's like the paparazzi are here. They're taking photos of me while I'm trying to speak to you, Mike. I like them, but they're crazy.
Record everything. It's all for posterity.
Yeah. So the more that the emails, the links, the documentaries that we watched in the course of working on the film were pretty overwhelmingly shocking. It's like your mind goes, okay, and your body wants to rebel against it. Oh, that can't be true. That can't be true here. And so I would just try to go back to my character saying, we have to be able to write about this day. We have to be able to investigate this day. We have to try to have some objectivity before we lose all our freedoms through fear of fear.
That's a good quote. Before we lose all our freedoms through fear. You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM, and the film is called The Reflecting Pool. And it is not a documentary about 9/11, but it contains more facts probably than maybe at least a half a dozen films that have come out about it. And the writer, director, star, Jarek Kupsch.
Close enough.
Close enough. Yeah.
Closer than the security guard.
Was it difficult getting in downstairs?
No, hello.
Not as difficult as it was for some strange people walking into the Twin Towers the weekend before 9/11.
Yeah, tell me about it. Well, that's the thing. We're down in this area where you are here, where we are here on 120 Wall Street. We were a few blocks away from 9/11. Mm-hmm. We couldn't even get down here for a while in the ensuing months. We had to get off at Houston and walk because no vehicles were allowed down here. But security are all over the city living in New York. It's just every building, every office building. It's high. You know, it's a little sort of after the, you know, horses out of the barn kind of thing.
What?
But,
we understand what
you mean. You know, Elena, you're from the South. You should know what I'm talking about. But now, the film is playing only in the one theater here? It's at
playing
the Two Boots?
At the Two Boots Pioneer Theater on Avenue A and 3rd, East 3rd. And we have one screening tomorrow at 9 p.m. and possibly at 11 p.m. if enough people show up. On Wednesday, we have 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. On Thursday, we take a day off.
Okay.
And on Friday, we're...
our final show.
It's our final...
Final show?
7 and 9.
Oh, really? Now, what if you have a huge turnout?
If we have a huge turnout, we will extend. We have a commitment from the theater to extend.
Okay. All right. Let's give all the info. What the website, the address,
the website
everything.
Is www.reflectingpoolfilm.com. For those listeners who cannot attend the screening, we offer the DVD of the movie on our website and with a bonus feature which reveals all the sources that went into the making of the movie. So you get the movie and a commentary track that basically enables you to watch the movie again, but almost as a documentary, because everything Joseph Kolb reads all the sources that are used.
Two for
writing.
The price of one,
so to speak.
Right. Narrative film and documentary.
Okay, okay.
And we're also receiving a tremendous support of 9/11 groups, peace activist groups,
very
and so
good.
On.
The 9/11 ballot initiative in New York City, which is gathering signatures to put on the ballot for a new independent investigation of 9/11. It's very important. And
yes, it is.
I urge everyone to sign that petition because it's a great way to re-empower.
Are there links on your site for all this?
The website for the 9/11 ballot initiative is nyc911initiative.org. That's nyc911initiative.org. It's a very important civic action, and they're out there gathering signatures every day. It takes 5 minutes. And anyone who comes to the screenings, you'll have an opportunity to sign there, too.
Okay. And it's at the Two Boots Pioneer Theater, which is, you said, Avenue A and... East 3rd Street. And it'll be running till Friday. There's a screening tomorrow at 7, you said?
Tomorrow at 9.
Tomorrow
at 9.
And
11.
Okay. And 11 if enough people show up.
Okay. And Wednesday at 7 and 9.
Wednesday 7 and 9. And Friday 7 and 9.
Friday 79. The Reflective Pool, I want to thank you all for coming down.
Yes, we really appreciate it.
And it's definitely a film worth seeing, and it's eye-opening. I'm not discussing too much of what is discussed in the film, because I want to leave that for those who see the film.
And if anyone's traveling to Maine, traveling to Maine, and it will be closing film of the Maine International Film Festival in Waterville, Maine.
Oh.
And then we'll be opening for a week there as well. and look for select screenings around the country.
And it's reflectingpoolfilm.com. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Good luck.
Okay.
We'll need it.
No, you won't. It sounds wonderful. Well, enlightening, at least.
Hello? Oh man, I think I lost you, Chris. Hello, you're on the air. Alright, well, the phone number here is 212. Hello, you're on the air. 209-2900. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, it's you.
Hello?
Hello? So, were you listening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an interesting film. I think you would enjoy it.
The what?
It's an interesting film.
It sounds exciting.
It is. It's a very good film. Very, as Spock would say, fascinating. So, I do have a few things to play and a few things to talk about. And how are you, Chris?
I'm good. I listened to the part where I disappeared on the last show. It's so funny.
What do you mean? What part where you disappeared? What do you mean?
I don't know. At some point, my phone completely died.
Oh, yeah. What was up with that?
It was funny. You know, my phone just died, and I sat there and went, damn, my phone is off.
Yeah, how did you, where'd you get that phone there, babe?
Where did I get that phone?
Sorry. Okay.
Where did I get the one?
Where'd you get that phone? You're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio. WBAI. Elena, where are you? I don't even know what mic you're on. Let me see. Talk to me.
I'm on the orange mic.
Okay, there you are. The orange mic. That really tells me. See those numbers? She's on the orange mic. Chris?
Yes.
Mic number three.
Yes. I thought what's her name was co-hosting again tonight.
Who? Who?
The.
Oh, she was, but she had a death in the family, so she'll be here next week. But I do want to say, I don't know if you heard what the theme of the show is. The theme of the show.
Scam.
Scams. Have you ever been scammed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? I want to hear some scams you've been through. Because I have had some scams myself. Elena, have you ever been scammed?
No, everybody wants to please me.
Well, yeah.
Elena just has her own thing going on.
They go to scam and then they can't.
They go to scam and then they can't. Well, you know, I got to tell you, there's a website here.
To scam and then you can't.com.
It's called scam.com. Have you been to scam.com? When you go, they have every kind of scam you could possibly imagine. They have internet scams, pyramid scams, religious scams, work at home scams, investment scams, corporate scams, mail order scams, lottery scams, government scams, contest scams, insurance scams, mortgage scams, retail scams, charity scams, used car scams, auction scams, hotel scams. Alright, there you go.
That's a little rap for
I
you.
I know, a little rap. Scam, scam, all kind of scam. We got scams for you right here. Scam, all kind of scam.
Yeah.
Anyway. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, have you ever been scammed, Felicia?
Have I been scammed? Yes.
Right,
but I never took, never,
You never fell for the scam?
Yeah, a few of them when I was desperate years ago.
Tell me one scam you fell for.
You don't want to know.
Sure, I want to hear. I want to know about the scams. How you
kind of embarrassing.
All scams are embarrassing.
It'll keep someone else from suffering.
It'll
keep
exactly.
Fell for some kind of amulet.
You bought the sacred amulet? Someone sold you the sacred amulet?
Well, it's not sacred. It's full of crapo lies.
Okay, well, tell me about the amulet that you purchased and what you think it was going to
be. Well, because they kept sending me junk in the mail saying, oh, I hope you get more money. I was desperate.
I understand.
So,
did it get you any money?
No, I had to send it back to get my money.
You got your money back.
So what was it, a big rock?
You're saying you take your ridicule,
you
that's all
to
you
get
do.
Money.
What's that?
I had to send it back to get my money back.
I understand. So you got scared. So in other words, they kept telling you that this amulet would change your life and bring you money.
They always do, and I keep telling them, don't write to
that's
me
like
anymore.
That's like one of my favorite scams.
Yeah, plus like what?
Is, you know, you get them like in the Spanish neighborhoods, money spray. Have you ever seen that?
Well, that's my bet. It works, Mike. It works.
No,
that's my favorite money spray.
Yeah,
spray
it works.
Spray it around. Spray it on your wallet. Yeah. Elena, do you have any money spray at home?
I have money spray before.
Of course you have.
Good. Yeah, no, money spray works, Mike. Don't mess with that.
You have a stomach.
Don't you mess with
money
spray.
Do you have any
money
spray, Elena?
I spray it on my chest.
Well, you know,
good fortune spray.
Good fortune spray. I like that.
The scam I got recently was from a church called St. Matthew's.
The church, say, church is selling money spray now?
Send them a dollar.
And they'll send you some...
They'll send you the holy water.
Blessed money spray. Hello, you're in the air.
$20. Second time.
What's the phone number here, Elena?
212-209-2900.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, Mike?
Yes.
They sent me this scam. I realized it was a scam because this church sent me this little booklet and it shows the Bush administration praying. I said, oh, no! So I wrote them a letter and then I called my bank and say, stop this check of $20. I'm not supporting this filthy church.
I really don't quite know how you got scammed this year, but I'm glad you called it off. Chris?
Yeah.
Well, because
tell me about your
disaster averted.
Tell me your scam. Tell me one scam you were scammed by.
Just one.
Okay.
And if it's good, we'll let you tell another one.
I gotta get off. I gotta fix my other speaker. Bye.
Thank
bye.
You.
Uh-oh, a scam.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
I was, I took some money out of the ATM. This is like probably in the 1980s. Like probably around 1983 or something.
They didn't
like
have ATMs in 83.
85. Probably 85. They had ATMs in 85.
No, they did not.
They did too, you. Yes, they did. They had ATMs. Of course they did. They did. I took some money out, and as I came out, some guy comes walking down.
Maybe they didn't, and that was the problem.
No, they did have ATMs.
Go ahead, Chris.
Some guy, I'm trying, man. So some guy comes, and he's like walking by, and he can't speak English, and he's like from some... African nation, and he goes, I need to find a bank or something like that's what he tells me, and he shows me that he's got a whole wad of cash,
And as he's showing me that, some other guy kind of comes walking by and sees that I see the guy with the wad of cash. And he's like, man, you got to put that money away. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, so you need to have an ATM thing. And he tries to... Hello?
Yeah,
good. And he tries to explain to him that he needs to have an ATM. And the guy kind of doesn't really speak that well English. And he goes, yeah, show him your ATM card and show him how it all works, right? So I'm like, I'm not so sure about that. He goes, I'll tell you what, you can't have this cash out here. We'll go to McDonald's across the street. There was a McDonald's across the street. So we all, three of us, go over to the McDonald's. And the guy says, oh, you want anything? And the other guy goes, yeah. And he hands the guy a $100 bill off the top of the money and lets the guy go buy whatever he wants at McDonald's. Still with me? They get me some French fries.
They get you some French fries. All right.
Okay.
This is called gaining your confidence.
Okay, now I'm listening.
So we go upstairs, and I'm sitting there and trying to explain to this guy, and I don't know how they got me to do it, but they got me to show the guy my ATM card.
Okay.
Right? And then all of a sudden, in the middle of that whole thing, and I have my ATM, and it almost went out of my hand. In the middle of that is when I said, hey, wait a second, this is a scam. You know, I don't know what all of a sudden.
What was this, 3 hours later?
Exactly. He's sitting back with his champagne and caviar. Hey! Hey, hey, hey! Spits out the caviar.
Still eating the fries.
And then I got worried because I was like, how do I get out of here? Because maybe they're going to jump me, you know? They're going to jump me. So I'm like, hey, man, let me just go downstairs for a second to the bathroom. I'll be right back. So I went downstairs and I booted out of McDonald's and headed on down. And it was on 38th and 7th Avenues where this all took place. And it was Citibank that I went to that ATM, and that's what it was. So I almost got taken. My theory is that more than ever, almost anything you try to do now just seems like a scam. Like, this is what happened to me just today, very quickly, just 10 seconds. I was looking for some gas coming back, and I see from the highway that it's 379, because the gas is running like 4-something. In Massachusetts, and I'm driving back, so I get off the thruway, right, and I go to the place, and it's like, $3.79 if you got a car wash. If not, it's regularly $4.10, you know, so I was like, damn. So, you know, you see the price, you know, $3.79, you think like, you know, wow, that's like 20, 30 cents cheaper, and you get off, and it's like, if you get a car wash. So that's like, That's a scam, I think.
That's a little scam. That's like a come on.
Yeah, that's a scam.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Ruben,
have you ever been scammed, Ruben?
Me? No, not personally, no.
Anybody you know of that's been scammed?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
But I got to ask you one thing.
Yes.
Have you reviewed the new documentary, Dreams with Shark Teeth?
By
Harlan Ellison?
The new documentary? No, actually, I didn't get to see the film, but I know about it, and I wanted to see it.
Yeah, it was playing at the New York Film Forum.
Yes. Did you get to see it?
No, because like I know there's on the internet there's like a trailer for it.
Yes.
You know, and there were this, and I was like wondering when it's going to come out. Then it was going to come out late spring, and then okay, fine. And then
it's just out. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm seeing look on the internet they've been reviewing it, but like where's it playing?
It's playing here in the city. I don't know exactly where, but it is playing.
You know, but about the thing with the scam thing, you know, I just look on the news on the web about that bank in California, Los Angeles. It just went under, belly up.
Yeah.
It was the second largest, and all those people lined up.
Yeah.
Oh, man, those people got it to a big scam, you know, the way the banking system is, you know.
Well, you know, unfortunately, you know, my theory on this is that, you know, over time, over the last 50 years specifically, you know, there was a time post-war where, you know, there was all this rebuilding of America, and there was a lot of pride, I think, in American, in the economy, what we could achieve, and American ingenuity, and companies prided themselves on how well they took care of their employees, and quality, American quality, and blah, 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 blah. But slowly, that's eroded away and become all about profit. All about profit, not about taking care of people, and more after, especially after the 80s, not just about profit, but lying about it and hiding stuff and smoke and mirrors and you know, trying to make more money, more money, more money, more money, and your stock's got to go up and up and up and up and up. And you know, unfortunately, what happens is, besides the surreality of you know, really the stock exchange, in my opinion, what has happened is that now the attitude is, you know, get it while you can, get as much as you can, and then just get out. And that's what it's about. I mean, that's what's happening with the oil business in general, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's, like I said, I see them as like the VHS manufacturers, and they know DVDs are on the way. It's like, okay, you know, you can, you let oil get to be so expensive that people, as opposed to trying to come out with something new that people may try, you create a demand. You create a demand for an alternate type of vehicle. And then, of course, you can make all the money on that, too. You know?
Yeah. But that's now, not a new practice, just because...
No, I didn't say it's new at all. I'm
after
just saying,
erosion. I mean, we had gas crisis in the 70s.
Yeah, but there's a big difference between gas crisis in the 70s and what's happening today. There's no comparison.
It's,
you know,
it's a lot of money that's being thrown out.
It's a huge amount of money that's being made in an industry where, you know, what other industry is there where you have record profits during the time when whatever it is that you're selling is costing the most? Come on. But again, like I said, what it does is it creates demand for something new, and those same companies that are now, you know, the car companies and the oil companies, they'll be the companies that are in charge of all the new thing that we need.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's hybrid cars or different kind of fuel or whatever it is. Yeah. So, that's just my opinion.
You know, another thing, the biggest scandal also is the healthcare industry. Have you watched Michael Moore's film, Sicko?
Yes, I've seen Sicko, and yes, of course, the health industry is a huge scam, and let's not even get to the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, they're like the evil empire.
Yes.
You know.
And you see what's happening right here in New York, this news about the Citigroup Health Incorporated, HIP, they're merging to become one company.
Yep.
You know, and the thing they had in the news that the guy who...
more employees.
Right, exactly, and the guy who's in charge of it, he's looking to make a windfall of $20 million, as reported.
Well, that's it. That's it. Get in, get out, get as much as you can. That's it. F everybody. F all the people, F all the employees, F the pension, F all that. There is no, you know, it's sort of like an archaic sense to work for a company and feel you have security and where they care about you. It's just, it's like uncommon now. You know, if you talk to anybody you know, any company they work for, how many of them, if it's a corporation, you know, with the exception of maybe the Walt Disney Corporation, do the people really feel like, oh, they're part of something, they're part of a family?
Right.
I think if you worked at Pixar.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it.
And the thing is that, like, when you ask these executives, what's the exit strategy when this thing is happening, they all have a smile on their face that says, we'll figure something out. And they don't have no exit strategy.
They got exit strategy for themselves. What are you
exactly
talking about? It's like, you know, Blofeld in Diamonds Are Forever. He's like, ready my escape pod. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's in it.
You know, that's why people are very scared of this fact. Like when, as they get older, it's not gonna have the health insurance they can afford. You know, a place to live, they can afford it. You know, like,
listen, the largest population, the largest growing population in this country is the elderly.
Yeah.
And so the world has got to change in regards to the elderly, because we're living longer, we're doing more things, and, you know, we don't have a culture that's really catering to the elderly. Not to mention the fact that the science fiction, everybody's bionic now with injections and replacement this, that, the other thing. Whew. Anyway.
Well, the name of that bank was called Belly Up Bank. That's
Belly Up Bank.
You know, you should have said
Belly May.
Belly Up Bank.
So there it is.
Yeah. We have some scary times ahead.
Yep.
Did you see Wally?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I just got back. I was, you know, out on my treasure hunt.
You know who did the song? I played it to you last week.
Yes, right? Peter Gabriel, who's just yes. incredible.
What a great song.
Mike Miller went to see it.
Oh, do you like it?
Yeah, he did. He loved it. So, I do have some movies to review as well. And I do have some Life is Like Science Fiction. One movie, a number of movies that have come out on DVD recently. One movie was one of my favorites from back in the day. Those who may know who Gerry Anderson is, Gerry and Sylvia Anderson are a British team that created, you know, Captain Scarlet and the Thunderbirds and all that. And then their first live-action film prior to UFO, which is their live-action series, and Space 99, which is probably the most famous live-action series, they made a movie. They made a movie in 1969 starring Roy Thinnes, who you may know from The Invaders. The movie was called Journey to the Far Side of the Sun.
Yeah, I remember that.
And what's great about it is it's got all those great special effects. Derek Meddings, who went on to do all the James Bond movies and stuff like that, and Star Wars models and whatnot. But Derek Meddings and Brian Johnson, who did Alien and the special effects for Alien, all, you know, great, you know, model making and just great effects. Really interesting cerebral science fiction. It's interesting to see that this type of science fiction is not really made anymore. You know, if it is, it's done maybe on TV or Sci-Fi Channel or something where they actually will take their time and tell you a story and really take you someplace cerebral without a whole lot of action and giant set pieces and whatnot. But it's a really interesting film. It's definitely worth seeing. Journey to the Far Side of the Sun. It's really like a giant Twilight Zone episode when you watch it.
It
just came out this week on DVD.
Oh, great.
Journey to the Far Side of the Sun.
I remember that one. That was good.
It was very good. Very much worth watching.
Oh, yeah.
Highly recommended. Great score by Barry Gray, by the way. Barry Gray, who also did Space 1999 and UFO and Thunderbirds and all that stuff. Great, great score.
Yeah, I like this.
So there it is. You know you want to get it.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, have you ever seen it?
Yes.
You've seen it. Do you remember it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It's got Herbert Lom from, is Dreyfus from, Pink Panther?
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. You've seen the movie? Back in the day, when was the last time you saw it?
Probably 15 years, you know.
Oh, please.
I mean,
back in the day.
More than that for me. I was like living
at least home. At least that long. Yeah. I'd love to see the DVD.
Oh, it's great to see. Especially on a 61-inch HD joint. Elena?
Yes?
Are you going to tell me about any scams that you've been through? And give out the phone number? How long are you on the air?
212-209-2900.
Have you ever been scammed, sir?
Just I'm listening.
No, he can't just, he just can't answer. What happened to you, Chris? We lost Chris.
Uh-oh.
I thought we did. Anyway,
why don't you tell us one of yours, Mike?
Oh, I can tell you so many scams.
I like your scams.
You like my scams? I don't know if you've heard my scams before. What's the phone number here you said?
212-209-2900.
Yes, please call us and tell us any scam you either committed or been a victim of.
Any friends you know.
I had a scam once, a really interesting scam. Hold on a sec, let's say. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
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 Hello? Is this the mystery guest?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Have you ever been scammed?
I have definitely been scammed.
Oh, really? All right, I want to definitely hear a scam from you. Hold on a sec. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
This is the biggest scam I've heard all day is here in this show.
Right. Oh, thank you.
He listens every week, though. Hello, you're on the air.
La la. I am
Chris, the mystery guest is here. Did you hear
Oh, Mr. happy birthday.
Happy birthday. That was like a month ago.
Well, I haven't spoken to you, so I know what it was.
Oh,
I know the dates. I just, you know.
Sorry, I'm a little punchy. I've been working all day, and I'm still working. But thank you. That's nice of you.
All right, so tell us about the scam that you've been through, Mr. Guest.
Well, I don't know if this qualifies for a scam, but it certainly felt like one. I had a really busy day, and I had all these bags and packages with me, and I stopped in Petco to pick up a protective glove so I could play with my cat. And I was there, and I was, you know, doing a little shopping, and it was kind of crowded. And some guy came up to me, and he was, you know, talking to me and whatever, and chatting about, you know, some something innocuous that I really didn't care about. I wanted to get the cat toy and go home. And while I was there, I actually had my wallet stolen. So apparently this guy either stole my wallet or, like, distracted me while someone else, you know,
made their move,
yeah. And then they went on a spending spree with my
credit card
and my bank card. And
what?
Wow. Yep.
When did this happen?
This happened, like, a few months ago. Like, 4 months ago.
Oh, man.
I know.
So you have to go to the police and get all that, go through all that rigmarole and
get your
money back.
Uh-huh, and your bank, you know, like, freezes everything right away, and then they have to investigate you to see if you're lying or you're part of the scam.
Yes.
You have
the whole thing.
You have that luck, like, when you were in Australia, remember, you sit on the beach, and then you went, and they stole your bag at the beach in Australia. You remember that?
Yeah. See, people wonder why I'm not more trusting. They're like, God, you're so paranoid.
She comes back and her bag's gone, you know? It's like some Australian's running away with the kangaroo in her bag, you know?
Someone stole my bag. And before that, they sat and talked to me. They were like, oh, so you do really well. You make, like, some good money. I was like, yeah, I know. I'm doing well, you know? And I walk away, and they stole my bag.
You're not doing that well.
Damn.
Yeah, no.
Damn.
But that's the good scary. Thing is, like, it is scary, but they actually recovered everything in that instance.
Well, that was good.
That's good.
That's luck. Hello, you're on the air. It's amazing a dial tone can call. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, yeah, I just want to turn my radio off.
Okay.
Right, as we speak, I feel like I'm being scammed.
What?
Hello?
Hello? Guys calling from Area 51.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, I was just saying, this brought up the scam thing, and I was just thinking as we speak, I feel like I'm being scammed.
I heard that part.
Because, it's been about maybe 35, 40 years. I wrote a song and recorded it and everything. And recently, a rapper put it out, and then the publisher says, "Oh, it was done. It was written by some guy who's been dead. I know the guy, but he's been dead about 25, 30 years at least." And it just seems like it's just a big conspiracy that a lot of people have put together to
Sir, you're being a little disjointed. Doesn't sound like a scam, it sounds a little more like a ripoff. It's like
Rip-off!
A rip-off, huh?
That's what it sounds like. It's like they ripped him off. He's dead. Let's rip him off.
That's what it sounds like
to me. So, Mike, I had to call to tell you...
Why is she echoing?
I don't know.
I'm echoing?
Just a little bit. Go ahead. You have to call to tell me.
It's not your fault.
Oh, no. I had to call to tell you when you guys were talking about, this administration and the ridiculous price of fuel and, of course, you know, the lack of a cap on gas and all the stuff that has happened under the Bush administration, that on the front page of the L.A. Times on Sunday says the Bush administration...
It says,
oh, no.
I think you're being... prevented from saying what you need to say. I get it. The Bush administration. All right, now finish what you're saying. It's on the front cover. Front cover.
Okay, I'm going to try. So cover of the LA Times, right, on Sunday, says the Bush administration rejects its own experts' conclusion that global warming poses a threat to public welfare, launching a comment period that will delay action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions at least until the next president takes office.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. He did that as soon as he came in as well. He gave them a break on emissions. As soon as he came into office, you know, he did that 8 years ago.
Ignore the Kyoto Protocol.
Ignore the Kyoto Protocol. That's amazing. It's sort of like, you know, his own experts say, you know, look, it's going to... He's like, no. Thank you. And close the door.
Exactly.
So
let me ask you, what goes into a personal letter of recommendation?
Generally, a personal letter of recommendation, you have to say something like, I have known, you know, Elena Fulgham to be, you know, an efficient and timely person who always shows up on time for the
hot,
show.
And sexy.
And, you know, this thing, I've known this person to be XYZ, and in the time that I have known them, they have always shown me, you know, whatever, and I recommend them, they're of sterling character, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, I'd say sterling character because...
Oh, well, I was going to throw that in.
You're good.
It sounds good.
They're of sterling character. Flawless. Simply flawless. Yes, thank you. Any imperfections are microscopic.
So did you read that giraffe story on the air?
I did. I read the giraffe story last week. That was my favorite story. Did you remember that story, Elena? Giraffe.
Oh, right.
Giraffe escapes, giraffe elites.
Well, the giraffe escape. Pulled a scam and got everybody out of the zoo.
Did you hear about this? The laser show in Moscow? Okay, check this out. Ravers lose sight at laser show, Moscow. Dozens of partygoers at an outdoor rave near Moscow last week have lost partial vision after a laser light show burned their retinas.
Mm-hmm. We lose.
Is that amazing? Can you imagine, like, you went out for a party and you come back half blind?
No, I can't even imagine.
I mean, that's, like, scary. Like, they didn't know what they were doing. They burned the retinas. It says Moscow City Health Department officials confirmed 12 cases of laser blindness. Okay?
And are they permanently blind?
Well, they're permanently blind. You can't burn the retina, doesn't come back. It says they all have retinal burns. Scarring is visible on them. Loss of vision in individual cases is as high as 80%. And regaining it is already impossible.
Oh.
Can you imagine? You went to
that's
a party.
Awful. And you're going blind.
That's like, who do you sue? You know? It's wow.
And what if you went with all your friends?
What does it matter? It's not like you'll be able to see again.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's disturbing.
It is
disturbing. Well, I think it's a great show. I just called to say hi.
Thank you,
Mr. Guest.
Keep on keeping on.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hello.
Hello.
I was listening to you. Well, I listen to you every Monday whenever possible.
Okay.
Mm. And in reference to the changing attitudes and the changing culture and
you don't have a scam. You don't have a scam for us, ma'am.
Oh, please. Almost on a daily basis.
Now, I want to hear the best scam you fell for, though. But go ahead. You can tell us your philosophical, and then I want to hear the scam.
Okay. I just listened to an author being interviewed on, I guess it was NPR, one of those reasonable stations.
You're being interviewed right now? Is it the same time?
No. This was a couple of days ago. But anyway, it was about the RAND Corporation. And the title of the book is The RAND Corporation, Soldiers of Reason. And I can't wait to get my hands on the book because it was a very in-depth interview. They discussed it a lot about really how the culture has been influenced, how politics has been influenced by this particular think tank. And I remember years ago, from the Kennedy years on, you would hear the RAND Corporation being referenced in one way or another. And, of course, in my youth, what attention did I pay to it? None. But it's talking about an overall scam to the country. You know, it just really shows how the influence of that company and the way that the people think, you know, has really boosted the consumer culture, the consumer economy, the whole consumer everything. So in a way, the whole nation has been scammed. But the scam that comes immediately to mind that I fell 4 years ago, again, in desperation, you had an earlier caller talking about desperation that caused her to purchase something. I can't remember all of the details, but I was walking down the street in Baltimore, and I was very depressed and didn't have anything going particularly, but a lot of responsibilities. And I don't think I had any much money. Maybe I had a dollar, or maybe I think it was a silver dollar, in fact. And there was one of these gypsy readers hanging out in the doorway, and you know, she spoke to me, and I was just so hungry to have somebody, you know, to just unload on, and I started telling her my troubles, and so she says, "Well, you know, give me the money you have," and she held it in her hand, and
give me everything in your pocket, and let me see if I can help you.
Go ahead, I'm listening now.
Yes, exactly. Let me see if I can help you. So I put the coin in her hand, and she did this little blessing on it, and then closed her hand around it and put it in her pocket. I said, "Well, if this isn't something," so I said, "Well, I'm just going to hope that the blessing works." And I went on about my business. I think I was about 19 years old at the time, so it's not sure. Like I had a lot of experience.
To read your fortune. You were $1 poorer. Okay, thank you.
I was $1 poorer, so then I was completely broke. And
scammed out of your last silver dollar.
Yes. And, well, so what can we do?
No, that's it. Yeah, I knew somebody who got scammed by one of those people. And this is somebody who, you know, felt, you know, had, and like you said, you're hungry for knowledge or some insight or wisdom or spiritual guidance. Mm-hmm. Yes. And they can always tell. I mean, because obviously those are their clientele. You wouldn't come if you weren't looking for that. And this person went, and then they were told that someone had cursed them. Mm-hmm. And they had to do a special, they had to get 13 candles put them in oil and take a naked bath and all this stuff. And then they had to come up with $1,800 in like 2 days. And they were like scared because, oh yes, this person has put this curse on you and you must remove it. You must remove it quickly or you will die. You know, and they were freaked out.
Let's put the ooga booga on you.
Exactly.
What's a naked bath?
They put the ooga booga.
I'm just saying, whatever it was.
If you have the ooga booga, if you send Mike a dollar
tonight
in an envelope, Michael,
you'll get a CD.
The ooga booga from your life.
Exactly. That's like
send Mike a dollar tonight. That's what the show's all about. Send him Mike a dollar.
You'll get a CD and he'll call you back.
Yes, they don't call you back.
Shut up.
And all Mike has to do
personally.
Is say hello, and the ooga booga is removed from your life.
Just email Mike.
Show. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Thank you.
Who's the more foolish? The fool?
Or me?
The fool who listens.
Ooga-booga.
There it is. And ma'am, how long have you been listening to the show?
Oh, couple years at least.
Couple years.
Don't you think that warrants dollars?
The hell is wrong with you?
So you need to definitely send a dollar to get the ooga booga removed by Mike, then, because anyone that's been listening for a couple of years
is warped.
That's right. You hear about this Wisconsin woman?
In fact, you've been on. How long have you been on, Mike?
Too
Mike's
long.
Been on 20 years.
I've been on since the late 20th century. What?
I was out of New York for about 8-9 years, and I remember listening to you before I came back in March. And I was so glad to find that you were still on the air because a couple of my favorites are not there. I would love to know where Robert Knight is.
Robert Knight is still around. He's not on BAI anymore, but he's still around. He's still doing. He's still.
He was great. Robert Knight was great.
Yeah. I used to love
Earthwatch.
Earthwatch, exactly right. And I like to listen to you. So when I came back and replugged the BAI into my consciousness, I was so happy to hear that your show was still on. And so there you are.
Well, thank you. And what's your name?
Bonnie.
Well, welcome back to New York, Bonnie.
Well, thank you. And
yeah, welcome.
Nice it was nice to talk to you tonight. And to check out the Rand Corporation and talk about it. I'd love to hear what you all have to.
I'll see what we can discover.
Right.
We can discover about the Rand Corporation. You can stay tuned.
The Rand Corporation.
We'll bring something back.
Soldiers of Reason is the book. And if anybody out in the audience knows anything about their machinations, let's hear it, okay?
All right, thank you, Bonnie.
Thanks, Bonnie.
You know, Mike,
what?
You have this music playing in the background. Like, it's so funny.
What?
You have this bizarre music playing when she started talking, you know, and it's like, it's so bizarre. When you listen back, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's so bizarre. It's like, you know, she's talking with her story and the music.
It worked.
I'm not saying it didn't work. It's brilliant. You're brilliant, you know?
Well,
you know what? Our first Lennon show was 1986, Mike. You know,
was it?
Oh, it was 1986. We did that Lennon show. We did that Lennon special.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
That was 86, man.
Damn, 86.
It was 86. We did that show. You know.
All right,
how about this?
Right after Chris left the ATM.
Wisconsin woman accused of placing dead rat in food.
Oh, I heard about that.
You heard about this woman because of planting a dead lab rat in a restaurant food and demanding $500,000 to keep quiet, was charged Monday with one felony count of extortion. Miller claimed to find the rat in her lunch April 2nd as she ate at the upscale Seasons restaurant. She threatened to alert the media unless the owners paid her $500,000. The owners turned the rat over to their insurance company. The investigators determined the rodent was a white laboratory rat, and they suggested the rodent had been cooked in a microwave.
Aww.
There it is. She's in jail right now.
Gosh. Seems a little harsh.
Yeah, well,
she better get some of that.
I think she was too greedy.
Don't touch me spray.
You need some of that buddy spray.
Yeah,
did you hear about the grandmother that 77 pins down the rabid fox that bit her? A 77-year-old grandmother was recovering at home after she pinned down a rabid fox that bit her and held it until help arrived. Her name is Avis Blaxley. She needs to have her own website. She was attacked as she tended to her petunias outside her Stroudsburg farmhouse. She said she pushed the animal to the ground after it bit her, held its jaws shut with one arm as she flagged down a passing driver with the elder.
Wow.
That's a tough granny. Hello, you're on the air.
You'll never suppress the truth. The truth will always defeat you.
Well, there it is.
That's like, you know, when they go rabid, Mike, you know, that's like that raccoon that attacked
She said she thought the animal was a dog.
I had to hit it in the head with a shovel and I couldn't kill it.
I understand.
It was a rabid raccoon and the state police had to come out and shoot it.
Really? You couldn't kill it?
No, I hit it like 14 times in the head with a shovel and I kept going, ee, ee, like I was hitting an alien, but it wouldn't die.
Damn.
The raccoons got like hard heads and it was rabid, so I had to.
Raccoons have hard heads. Okay.
I had it like, I swear, I like 14 times with a shovel. And it was like going,
make that sound again. I like that.
Hitting the raccoon. That's got to be one of those memories you don't forget. Did you hear about this story, Elena? Woman accused of smacking beau with toilet seat.
Smacking beau with toilet seat?
Yes, police arrested a couple after the woman allegedly hit her boyfriend with a toilet seat. The woman, 18, told police that she found her boyfriend smoking cocaine in their bathroom and turned on the shower to try and wash away the drugs. The pair argued when he refused to give up the drugs. Authorities say the woman hit him with the toilet seat.
Damn. Correct. Nobody touched nothing.
She obviously didn't want him to smoke with me. Hello, anymore. Hello, anymore.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Yes. Who is this?
Nobody touched nothing.
Well, there it is. What's the phone number, Elena?
212-209-2900.
You have a story, Elena? You haven't told me any scams. I want to know about scams.
I don't have any scams.
Yes, you do. You've never been scammed? Get out of here. Come on. You're from, like, out of the city. You've never been
where
scammed.
There's one mutant, there's another. And another.
Chris stays home watching movies and quoting.
and another.
Well, tell us one of yours, Mike.
Well, now I want to hear you
later. Yeah, you know, you've got like the most flim-flam scams that have been perpetrated on anyone. You've fallen for them all.
Flim-flam. Elena, I want to hear one.
Why are you laughing? Because you know it's true. What was
hello,
that
you're
one?
The,
what are you doing? I got a question. Some guy had mentioned that he took a shovel and hit a raccoon.
Yes.
Why did you? Is that person still on the line?
Yes,
I'm
he
right
is.
Here. Yeah. What?
Yeah. What's going on? Why'd you do that?
Because it attacked my girlfriend's dog and it was rabid. So you have to kill it so you could be tested. Now I went and had to have rabies shots. Want me to continue on in my life?
I don't have to continue on. I mean, I thought that you had
just out of the blue attacked you. Now he's not an animal abuser. We'd have cut him off.
Oh, what an animal abuser! No.
Because
if
he were, I would have shot him myself.
Wow.
Hello, you're on the air.
Shoot me.
Hello.
Shoot me.
Yes, hello.
So this is about scams, right?
Yeah, you got a scam? Tell us about a scam. Tell me about the scam you got scammed.
This is really embarrassing. About 12 years ago, Village Voice used to post this thing on the back of their page where if you pay them a certain amount of money, they will hook you up with girls who just want to meet and have a casual relationship with men.
Wait, back up. Back up.
Village Voice.
Village Voice used to have ads.
Yeah.
That say, hey, meet for anything tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, you had to pay them $100.
$100. Right? They're going to hook you up.
Right, so
they
make me go
put him in
the
room with a blow-up doll.
Man, this is so embarrassing because it was easy money for them. They make me go to this one of the Western Unions, like close to me where I was at the time.
The Western Union of money.
Right.
Yeah.
Send the money to some guy where you wave signature and all this stuff, and I did it. And basically, when I lost my $100, you couldn't trace who got the money because he made me where I would give him the money that you don't need any signature, so he could just go to, I guess, any check cashing place.
And none of this sounds fishy to you.
Right, at the time.
Well, obviously,
it
did. He was horny.
I was stupid. Yeah,
he was horny. Obviously.
Good
horny
Lord.
Men will do anything.
I was 20 years old at the time. This was about 12 years ago, I would say, yeah.
Damn.
And, so I got scammed over
scammed.
Sex.
I understand.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That is embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
That's not that bad. You had good, honest intent.
Right. I had honest intent, but
there
was no, how can I say it? There was no girls at the end of the rainbow or whatever.
No.
Right.
No, you need to buy the can't get ripped off spray. If you use some of that every day, get ripped off.
The anti-scam spray.
Yeah, anti-scam spray. $1 bottle.
God, 12 years ago, $100, you could get any Southern girl for...
The lady's like, you give me $5. Okay.
I would have done you for $19.95.
Oh, stop. Elena?
No, what they said was they give you this black book. That's what the whole...
Oh, filled with numbers.
Oh, a Fonzie book.
Right. Of easy girls.
That's
even worse. You don't even get the actual girl.
Numbers of easy girls.
Right.
I hear you.
Girls that are...
I was trying to get the black
the
book. I was trying to get it. And then I figured, well, maybe he lost it. So I went to another guy. And he said he had a black book. He said his book was brown. Anyway.
Mike is off on a tangent.
And for years in the Village Voice, they had these feet. For years. I was told, like, all my friends, don't believe that stuff.
Well, your friends looking at that ad, too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to try it. Hello, you're on the air.
I still have friends.
Yeah, and everybody has a story with you. Yeah, I had a friend who got the black book. Yeah, every girl in there is hot, and she wants you. Hello, you're on the air.
The devil's on his way out. That's the best way I know to defeat a scam, where you see, when you say the right things, like the devil's on his way out.
That's what you say when somebody's scamming you?
And the music industry's on its way out, and all filmmaking's on its way out. And then
have you ever been scammed? I just want to know if you've ever been scammed. Have you ever been scammed?
You don't get it, do you?
Well, I do. But I figured I'd try anyway and see if you could
just hoping.
Answer a real question. Hello, you're the air. He's like, you don't get it, do you? I'm out of my mind. Hello. You just don't get it. Will you try to talk to me? Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Yes, hi.
Yes, hi. You have a scam story?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was a victim of a scam myself.
Okay, talk to me, everybody. This is a share.
Yeah, it happened to me some months back.
Okay, this is a recent scam, so it still stings a little.
Yeah, it was the romance scam on a dating site.
Oh, romance scam. Talk to me of romance scam. I want to hear about that. Romance scam.
Yeah, that's right. I was sending money to some place out in Lagos, Nigeria.
Okay, to like a wife? You were like buying a girl? Or layaway?
I was buying a wife one layaway.
I think it was all of above what you're describing. I mean, I appreciate the humor.
All right, I'm sorry.
Gravity, but
we got to laugh at it now. You got to laugh at it. I mean, sure, it hurt. You know, I don't mean to make funny. I'm just, you know, trying to make light.
And what they do is that these 419 Nigerian scammers. Mm-hmm. That are a member of these gangs that are scattered like in Mississauga, Canada, and Toronto. Those cities that are nearby where they operate their scamming with their prostitute girlfriends, you know, pretending to be the girl on the other side, you know, but they put them on the phone and all that, you know.
Really? All right, so tell me the details. Like, what happened? What? How did you discover this? Where did you find the scam? Talk to me.
He said it was a dating
app. On the internet, you know, I met somebody that I thought was a real person, a real.
Now where?
Person,
like in a
Florida.
Chat? In a chat room?
In a chat
adult
room,
friend finder? What was it?
Yeah, exactly. That's how they operate. And then they, you know, they work you over, you know, in the next few months and on, and then they convince you to send money to them over, you know, to Western Union and, they had me laundering close to $10,000.
Wow!
How did you get involved in laundering? Talk to me, sir.
Well, the so-called woman, it turns out to be a Nigerian, you know, male scammer.
Of course.
Give a crap about his own country, and they, you know, was telling me, you know, if you love me, send me $150 and all that, and what you'll do is that, you know, since I. You know, my company needs you to pick up $8,000 at a Western Union. This, you know, a transaction that's coming from someplace out in Mississippi or someplace out in Manitoba.
Wow.
And I used to ask, now I think about it, you know, maybe I should have kept the money.
If I could use it to pay my back rent,
you know, because...
Please, they had you, and there would have been no way for you to transfer, but you thought it was love, I understand. Wow, wow, they had like, please be my mule, you know?
Wow.
That's just wild.
So
that's
you did
wild.
It the one...
So how long were you...
How long
were
you doing it
for? Were you doing this?
4 or 5 months, unfortunately.
Wow.
Now, was
it
a
only
really
when
girl?
A Western Union official contacted me and said, you know, you're sending a lot of money over to Nigeria. Do you know anybody out there? Says, no. Have you shook hands with them? No. I promised that we'll be engaged very soon when she comes to New York. It says she has to get the flight, you know, to come KLM.
Oh, God. And as you're talking, you hear yourself, and you're like, it's like, oh, shoot. I'm being scared.
All bull.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
I you know, it took me a while to, you know, through some therapy, and
Therapy, really? You had to go to therapy. I hear you.
And this person knows everything about my personal history.
Wow.
The fact that you know, I was
that's like being
a
raped
kid and all that, and I was exploited.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. Like the zip code, this is my friend, it lives in Schenectady, right? And the zip code for Schenectady is 12345. And like these Russian girls, like on regular sites and stuff, when it comes up to like where you live, so in the US they don't know what to put for zip, so they put 12345. So when you're searching for somebody in your area, all of a sudden you get these Russian girls. Still with me? So they start talking to you. So my friend, like, he goes to these sites, and all of a sudden he's talking to some Russian girl.
You know, it's also another trick.
I didn't finish talking.
They send postal money orders in the mail.
Right. Well, see, what they do is they start...
Fake postal money orders, including the Canadian ones. I was lucky that I was able to investigate to find out calling the special 800 numbers for the Canadian money order system and MoneyGram. I read the serial numbers and they told me they are unrecognized and they're probably counterfeit.
Wow.
There's a couple of them that I tried to cash to pay my back rent, the bounce, and it had me in deep water for a while until I was able to get out of it, you know, back in March when I paid up all the arrears that was due. Now I have a new issue with something else. I think I'm being scammed in something else with this black car, company that operates itself under Hybrid Limo Express.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who runs Hybrid Limo Express, and I'm going to say this on the air,
If anybody has information, there's this guy named Jerry Cutler. He likes to recruit yellow cab drivers to drive his limo cars. But the catch is that when you drive his cars, he deducts most of his money from your check every week. So all the jobs are you under voucher. And he put quite a few drivers, you know, in poverty's door. Some of the drivers, like myself, you know, have had my checks voided on several pay Fridays, and it has put me in a situation where I'm almost going to be evicted from my apartment. I'm in contact with the New York Taxi Workers Alliance to explain my situation with them, and I want anybody who's a black car driver out there who's feeling scammed by some of these black car bases to come forward and bring them information to 37 East 28th Street, New York, New York, the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. Although they work mostly with yellow cab drivers, they'll work with black car drivers because there's lots of scams that's also going on in the yellow cab industry as well, such as the fuel surcharge that Matthew Dallas doesn't want to give to the cabbies. $1 more, it's not going to hurt. And with the credit card scam, the 5%, the drivers are losing money. Another scam. These people need to be blown up into smithereens.
Okay.
I think they're worse than the dating service.
Worse than that? Well,
of course. I think the people who take cabs in the city or, with the yellows, for instance, just in mind, they're being scammed of their 5%. Of the credit card transaction, because none of it is going to their pocket.
So you...
The biggest scammer is the commissioner of the Taxi Limousine Commission. Mr. Douse. I call him Mr. Dummy because he's an ass.
Okay.
Sucks ass. I'm sorry. Any cab driver that drives New York City is feeling scammed every day, you know, by the fact that he's not getting an extra dollar for his fuel surcharge because gas has gone off the roof. I think everybody's feeling scammed with President Bush being in the office, the biggest scam of them all, you know, with scamming two elections. I think everything is a scam.
That's what I think. I think everything's a scam now. Everything just seems that way.
I'm trying to take a cab. I feel like I'm being scammed.
I know. But I've had my personal brush up with scam. But I never thought it would come out of from people from Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
And that was a low blow. Especially when they prey on, you know... Mostly people in the Midwest that
like
I
your emotions and stuff.
Oh yeah, and it's that's the same thing that happens with cab drivers in New York. Black car drivers, yellow cab drivers, they're being scammed by these big bosses and all that. Oh God, working people being scammed as well. Other things. I mean, it's an endless list. We could talk about scams all night, A to Z.
We're being scammed right now because Mike's left the room.
No, he hasn't.
That's funny.
He's going to get me snacks.
You know, it's like Mike's just left the air. It's like, yeah, good. I'm going to scam my way out of the room.
how about when you have like WBAI hosts, you know, when they try to get good music, that commercial garbage that they keep turning in the commercial dials, and you can't get real good music these days. They scam the poor artists that are making good music, and they teach them out of their contracts and all, and they have to, like, go independent to make sure that they can secure their own income. You know, they publish their own work and all that, you know, to prevent being scammed by record labels and all these other people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Artists that do it for themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to struggle to put out their product, you know, because they're afraid to go before the big boys like CBS and RCA Records and who are the other big wiggy Warner Brothers?
Warner Brothers.
They suck ass to all of them. And I'm a DJ myself on the side, you know. And
So you seem to be bashing every avenue.
I'm telling you,
you're a black car driver, yet you're bashing the black car industry. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And the community.
I've been in a couple of. I was scammed.
You were scammed. Hello, you're on the air.
I was scammed by a couple of club owners.
Oh, okay,
look,
camera radio now.
Yes.
Hello.
All right, just 1 minute.
Yes.
What about the fortune scam?
The fortune scam. Have you been scammed by the fortune? Did you feel like you were going to get, like, some wisdom and then you got scammed?
No. This, they contact you saying a road.
I know. I want to know what happened to you, sir.
No, a friend of mine happened. I never got scammed.
You never got scammed. You're too smart.
No.
I understand.
It always happened. It could happen to anybody. Okay. Greed always gets you. That's the first step.
I understand.
Don't be greedy.
So wait, what's the fortune
scam? Never fortune. Underestimate
right, there
person
you go.
Greed.
That's true. The other guy, you're the other guy.
That's true. So what? Yeah.
Fortune scam is like this. They contact you, say a relative of yours died, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
And they need X amount of money for them to do the paperwork. And so you send them, blah, 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 and they say, well, the money is tied up now, but we need a little bit of money. You come into a big fortune. Don't worry about it. We'll take care, you know.
Stop. Really? Right. That they've had. That, what is that? The bereavement scam, you know?
Yeah.
Like your mortgage.
Just when that happens, you know, look, somebody says there's money involved. Oh, thank you. Let me put you in touch with my attorney. And I immediately, oh, I think I have the wrong number. Click. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. But how you say, if you have greed in your heart, or you're either like, how can I put it, you ain't need it. Time, you don't think about the
things. You're not thinking
clearly.
It sounds
like a number. Like an R&B song. If you have greed in your heart. So, Sydney, it's been a long time. Chris, Sydney's here.
You know, I just caught the voice for just a second, and I was like, wait a second, who's that? And it's Sydney. I just caught it.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I got thrown out of the bar and I came here.
Exactly. So, Sydney, now it's been like since really the Byron era.
That's right. Not since the late 20th century.
You haven't been on the air here. So welcome back to Night Shift,
Sydney. Why, thank you. I'm so glad you're still here.
He's been on since I've been on.
Hello? I was on once or twice in the 21st century.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah,
who's
I took
here?
A picture, remember?
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Hello, you're on the air.
It's in the BAI cavalcade now.
Hello.
$25,000
Sydney, have you ever been scammed?
Yeah, that was my question, because I know, Sydney, you had to have gotten scammed.
Of course I have.
So tell me a scam you've been scammed by.
You're just so honest and loving and everything.
Oh, there were scammers here at the station. Remember
the manager had to come into the studio to stop them. It was the airplane scam.
They were on
scam.
The air, yes.
It was like a pyramid scam.
Yeah.
I won't say the name of the engineers and producers involved, but they were getting a list. Yes, and if you give us this money, and if you sign up, and if you do this, and our manager was to say, what? And I was here that day, and she said, this program is off the air. I mean, she went in and said, told the engineer, I think it was Mike, said, put on a cart now. And she ended that program live on the air. This show is over.
And they had been doing that for a while.
Yeah, I mean, they've been here for like 10 years previously. They haven't been here since. They were breaking every federal law on earth, okay?
Wow.
I mean, people from Mongolia would come here
and they were like a couple.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, they
know.
Were. Yeah, yeah. And by the way, they got arrested too.
Did they get
they
arrested?
They got arrested.
Really?
Yeah, they went to court and everything. Yeah,
they were grifters.
Yeah,
the grifters.
Yeah, but again, see, like they were very nice people. If you remember their shows, like I don't want to embarrass them now, but
yes,
they were very nice people.
I remember.
I think they got into it. I mean, they were also into the Raj Nishi guys. Remember them? Those guys. They were like very open-minded, very loving, and they thought this was a way to get poor people money. Whereas it was a way to get poor people to lose their money.
Basically.
Yeah, and you know, at the time, I felt slighted that they didn't let me in on it. And it's a good thing.
Exactly. You dodged a bullet. Exactly.
That's your own personal scam.
Yes, so, indeed. Yeah, you know, I got scammed a couple of times.
So tell me one of your scams.
Oh, because like the listener says, I'm so gentle and open-hearted and all that sort of the self-destructive stuff. I think I even told it on the show back in the 20th century that I gave this homeless person and his daughter $50.
No, you did.
Because, I mean, this is before I realized
this $50 was 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's like $150
now. $150.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel this is before I realized that there was a new scam amongst the homeless. These weren't real homeless people. These were just scam artists.
Those squatters in the East Village that had homes in Connecticut.
Those guys.
They were all summer.
They were summer poor
squatters.
They were poor posers. Yeah, okay,
yes.
There you go. So what they would do is they would have a guy, a sincere-looking guy, like he looks like he used to be okay, but now he isn't. His clothes weren't that dirty, but looked like they'd be wearing him for a week or so.
Like Chris.
Like new poor people. And you feel sorry for him. Oh, this guy just fell off, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And he'd have a kid with him.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And so he said, listen, can you help me out here?
Like, now, normally, he just hit bottom.
Just hit. It didn't look like real old, you know, like
right.
like fake and stuff, right. You know. But no, I said,
I have a just hit bottom story. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I said, oh man, and I just got paid like an idiot. I said, listen here, take this. Don't anybody see it, right? Then I see this guy on the east side again. Okay? Same story.
Same kid.
And then I start seeing more of them. I said, oh, man. No. Yeah, that scam didn't last long. It was New York One did a story on that.
Really?
It's like around the turn of the century.
They're always like these things. You always wonder, like, who sets up the African guys with the watches?
Oh, those guys.
You know, who sets them up? They all come here, and they all have the same blanket and the set of watches. And
there's
sunglasses.
A guy right outside the station. Right, I could take you out right now. We
really?
Get some watches.
Exactly.
But if you notice, you still I find myself still looking.
Well, you know, I mean, they look kind of real. They're shiny, and I mean, the fact that they'll work for 20 minutes.
In front of
Bloomies
and all the purses.
Yeah, well, you get a watch and a pen set and a pen knife.
I found out the other
for $10.
Night. I think I was listening to this station of all things. No, I was listening to watching MSNBC, my other favorite station.
Yes.
That if you go into the European Union, what used to be Europe, and now the European Union, if you go in there with phony baggage, that like knockoff baggage.
Knockoff baggage.
They won't let you in. They'll confiscate it.
Stop.
They are. They got to bug up their rectums over this.
Really?
They don't let that stuff in there. So if you're like, oh boy, look at this stuff. Looks just like the real stuff. I'll buy a set of that. Well, you go in there with that stuff. They'll say, we're not going to take your shirts and stuff, but
we'll give you a shopping bag.
They confiscate ersatz stuff, fake luggage, because it's seriously illegal over there. So if you're going on vacation and you just bought some make-believe luggage,
the fake Gucci stuff,
leave your fake Gucci.
Don't go to Europe with it, okay? That's maybe China. They'll take it. As a matter of fact, it's all made in China.
Exactly. Oh, you buy from us. My family makes it.
Oh, yeah, good. You know,
exactly.
Yeah. You can have
made in China.
Exactly.
Yeah, here's some dumplings. No.
I've got a reference back to what this guy said about the homeless scam.
Yes.
Are you talking about the, because I see like these Muslim women, you know, they're all handicapped looking, and they ask for money on the corners of streets. Are you talking about those homeless
people? No. These weren't Muslims. These were just, you know, looked like a regular working guy, just lost his gig, and he's outside on the street with his kid. I mean, you know, immediately your heart would go out to him, because it looked like a fresh, laid-off person, you know?
Well, I see like a bunch of Muslim-looking elderly women with canes, and they're handicapped, and it smells like a scam.
All right, well, look, you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI, and I did not know Toni Short is actually here. The rumors of her non-appearance.
So if I could say something, I would give money to the old gals anyway. I mean, I hope they could keep it. I mean, if they're asking for it, they must need it.
Out there for,
you know,
somebody else.
Yeah,
I
if
agree.
They're out there for some, you know, creep. That's
the awful thing, too, about when they're using children. Yeah. That happened something to me. Okay, it wasn't a scam, but...
Well, Elena, can you scam me into your bed?
All right.
It wouldn't be much of a scam. All right, but listen, Chris...
Yes.
Until next week, I'll tell you.
Is that the Chris?
That's the Chris. That's
Chris.
What I'm trying to tell you. It's the Chris.
I didn't realize.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
an honor to just be on the air with you.
And me to be sitting behind this microphone with my feet on the floor. Uh-oh. Yes.
Personal is coming up next. You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. Come to our website at lifeislikesciencefiction.com. You can email us at niteshiftz@aol.com. That's Night Shift with a Z. And please join us until next week. And Cindy, did you ever see Journey to the Far Side of the Sun? Did you ever see it?
Yes, I did.
It just came out on DVD.
It's on DVD?
Yes.
With all the extras?
Yeah, well, there are no extras.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And if you love us, send us a dollar.
I love you. I'm going to send you anything you want.
Huh? Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.